What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the ShowMeFootball.com podcast. And man, that was stressful, exciting, disappointing all at once. Chiefs beat the Las Vegas Raiders at Allegiant Stadium with a final score of 35-31. Joined by Connor as always. And as always, Connor, your initial thoughts on this game?
Well, it reignited my hatred for the Raiders, and it was a ugly win, but hey, fuck the Raiders, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure, it was a lot closer than I feel like it needed to be, but I feel like the Raiders are just one of those teams that it's just a bad matchup for Kansas City for whatever reason, because they just... The only difference in this game was Patrick Mahomes, really. I mean, that was why they won this game, because the defense wasn't stopping anything. That was maybe one of the worst defensive performances I've seen in the past few years, right up there with the Week 5 game against Las Vegas. Like, those are like the worst two defensive performances that come to mind, that and the Titans game from last year. But I guess we kind of have to start with the defense just because of how much they stuck out today and for – not the right reason. So if I pull up the box score here, so Derek Carr was 23 of 31 for 275 and three touchdowns. He had the one pick at the end of the game. We'll get more into that a little bit later, but it seemed like guys like Darren Waller were open on every play. Nelson Aguilar, six receptions for 88 yards and a touchdown. Like, just no pass rush at all. Chiefs had zero sacks today. Even they blitzed Carr a ton of times and still no pressure.
I want to point something out real quick before we get into the defense completely. They pulled up the Pro Football Focus ranking graphics before the game, and Pro Football Focus ranked 109 defensive ends, the 109 defensive ends who have played this year. And out of those 109 defensive ends, Frank Clark, Mr. Set the Edge himself, ranks 94th.
Yeah, I've been trying to tell people this. And for those who listen to this that are on Chiefs Facebook groups that I post a lot of my articles too. I wrote an article a few weeks back on, is there something wrong with Frank Clark? And a lot of Chiefs fans came at me saying, no, he's fine. I had kind of a mixed reaction. I had a lot of people saying, yeah, he's overpaid, kind of disappointing. And then I had a lot of people that were just like ready to fight to the death for Frank Clark. And it was kind of weird because like you watch these games and he's been a no-show like in all but maybe one game. I mean, he's just nothing from him. Now, the rest of the defensive line, there was nothing from them either. But, you know, Frank Clark is like the highest paid player on the defense and just nothing at all.
The only player where I guess you can really have an excuse on the defense today, or at least the D-line today, is I did notice Chris Jones got double teamed a few times. And I know I feel like a hypocrite pointing this out because Frank Clark stands or Frank Clark truthers are always known for saying, well, he gets double teamed when he really doesn't. But I don't know what percentage of the snaps Chris Jones was double teamed on, but I did notice him getting double teamed a few times. So I guess you can chalk that up to, or chalk up his poor performance to that if you want to. And the Raiders have a really good interior offensive line. But one of the main selling points that a lot of Chiefs fans wanted to talk about when we initially got Frank Clark, I know this show has just turned into a Frank Clark hate show, but it's just something I feel very passionate about. But one of the things that a lot of Chiefs fans really praised was the fact that Frank Clark, quote unquote, owns Colton Miller. Well, I think the ownership has changed hands. I don't know who owns Colton Miller, but it sure as hell is not Frank Clark. If anything, it's the other way around. You've pointed this out several times before, and Frank Clark continued it today. What he does is he just runs around the left tackle. He doesn't have a bull rush. He doesn't do a swim move. He doesn't have any pass rushing move whatsoever. He runs around the tackle and hopes that the quarterback is going to drop back far enough for him to hit. And on film, these teams obviously watch film. So they go, oh, let's see. As long as I don't take a 15-step drop, Frank Clark is going to be nowhere near me. And guess what? They continue to do that. They don't do anything stupid like the Texans did in the divisional round last year, where they just leave him completely unblocked. And as long as you push him, Frank Clark isn't doing jack shit.
Yeah, I mean, you summed it up perfectly. I've been so disappointed with him for, like, what you said. Just the whole thing. Like, he's not – like, fans love to say, oh, well, he gets double-teamed a lot. I actually have this chart. I don't know if I have it in particular, but it was a chart that listed all the starting defensive ends in the league and their double-team rate versus how often they beat the double team. And Frank Clark was actually in the bottom third of the double team rate among starting defensive ends. And he was also in the bottom third of double team win rate. So that argument has kind of been laid to rest. I don't know why people keep saying that stuff.
Let's talk about the rest of the defense. Okay. Let's just continue with the defensive line. They didn't do jack. We were nowhere near Carr all game. So essentially, we were our front seven was Frank Clark, Frank Clark, Frank Clark, Frank Clark, and Frank Clark. Linebacking core. I don't remember a linebacker really doing anything. I think Damian Wilson had a couple tackles, but outside of that, off the top of my head, I can't remember a linebacker making any plays.
Yeah, whole defense was rough, man. Chris Jones, you even had to give him some criticism, just nothing from him. And like I said before we started recording, it just seemed like on every third down, Waller or Renfro or Aguilar were just wide open every single time. It's like, is anyone covering these guys? Even Darren Waller had a wide open touchdown when no one was there. And man, like I said, that was just one of the worst defensive performances I have seen of the Spags era. Another thing to point out as well, hope to God DeAndre Baker ends up working out and he sticks around, because I said that in this next draft, Chiefs need to target cornerback and linebacker 1 and 2, any combination, whatever, just get a cornerback and a linebacker. Well, let's hope DeAndre Baker works out and they can, you know, be happy with their corner position going into the future, because this team needs a defensive end badly. Like, they need another defensive end. They have no one opposite of Frank Clark. And I'm not saying that as, like, you know, Frank Clark is this big force that needs a pass rushing partner, but you just need something over there, man, because they are getting no pass rush. Yeah, right.
Get his ass the hell out of here. Send him to Jacksonville. I've said it. He seems like a Jaguars player, doesn't he? All bark and no bite. You know, that's the definition of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Frank Clark would have fit right in on that 2018 team after they were good in 2017. But in 2018, they were horrendous. I assume I have those years right, but I'm not going to fact check it right now because it's not worth it. But one thing I want to point out is how god-awful the secondary was today. L'Jarius Sneed came back today, and Chris Jones was yelling at him on the sideline. I'm not exactly sure why, because to me it seemed like L'Jarius Sneed spent the day covering Henry Ruggs, and you didn't hear anything from Henry Ruggs. So right. L'Jarius did his job. Everyone else who wasn't. Daniel Sorensen, outside of the pick at the end of the game, did nothing. Tyrann Mathieu did nothing. Charvarius Ward got beat, but also got lucky with a couple drops. But Nelson Aguilar torched him today. Juan Thornhill, where was Juan? So the only decent players in the secondary was, I'd say, L'Jarius did his job, and I think I recall Fenton doing a pretty solid job. But everyone else, pathetic.
Yeah, for sure. Breland looked rough tonight. Like you said, I find it funny how anytime there's a dropped pass after a cornerback gets beat, they like wave their arms like, oh yeah, like nice play by me, like hyping themselves up. Incomplete. You did nothing. You're just lucky the guy dropped the ball. Aguilar did that. He burned Ward tonight, but just dropped a pass. I'm not sure why Ward was in his own bag there, but whatever. And I think, I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about the defense. Did you have anything to add about the defense before I move on?
I could talk a little bit about Bashaud Breeland. Bashaud Breeland, the last time we played the Raiders, was the one good player in the secondary. This time, he was the worst. It seems like every play he was either getting beat or committing a penalty, and it was so infuriating.
Yep, I'd have to agree there. One thing I wanted to bring up, though, typically we don't even bring up this aspect of the game unless something terrible happens or just really stands out, but special teams. This is a hot take, but I think the Chiefs need to move on from Dave Tobe because special teams has seen a steady decline over the past few years. The Chiefs are dead last in special teams DVOA still, and the penalties on every single return are driving me insane. I think Dave Tobe is kind of, you know, overstayed his welcome in KC. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. You know, Dave Tobe is one of those people who you are told is good and you just assume is good. You know, it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. I remember Dave Tobe was a candidate in a couple teams' head coaching searches.
Yeah.
Honestly, it has to be Dave Tobe who's the problem. Because you see these special teamers just do this stupid crap every time they return. It seems like every single Chiefs return goes, they catch it at the 5, take it up to about the 20, maybe. And then there's a penalty that moves them back. When they could just let it bounce in the end zone and start at the 25. But no, we consistently start inside our own 25 because we either A, don't let the ball bounce, or B, commit some sort of penalty. And I know people are like, oh, well, it's just because McColl is a shitty returner. And I'm not going to sit here and say McColl is a good returner, but the penalties aren't McColl's fault. Him taking it out inside his own 5 when it could just bounce in the end zone, yeah, that's his fault. That's him being an idiot. But it's not his fault that consistently on special teams we are committing crap like holding. And that ultimately comes down to discipline, and discipline is 100% on the coach, Dave Tobe. And I think it's time for him to go. I feel like as a Super Bowl contender, we might be able to attract someone like John Fossil, who almost got a Super Bowl a couple of years ago in Los Angeles. But of course, his special teams unit was the only unit that showed up to that game. But I don't know. I don't know who would really take over as a special teams coordinator, so I can't really say I have anybody in mind better than Tobe. But honestly, who's worse than Tobe at this point? What has Tobe shown that makes him good? I don't see it at all.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the Bob Sutton situation where, like, you know, we had some solid defenses with Bob Sutton for a couple years, but it just gets to a point. And this doesn't even go for like cheap. This goes for like just coaches everywhere, like Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, or I'm sure I'm forgetting another notable one, Bruce Arians in Arizona. Like, it just gets to a point where the relationship between coach and players just gets stale, and you just need a fresh new face. And I just kind of feel like Tobe is overstayed his welcome at this point.
Yeah, I'm done with him. And putting McColl and DeMarcus Robinson back at return doesn't help at all. I think that we have found our 100%, I phrased that very poorly, but I think we have found our returner who should return 100% of the time. There you go. In Byron Pringle, he's slower than Kareem, but he has better Kareem. I miss Kareem. He's slower than McColl, but he has better vision, and the special teams unit is just better when he's back at returning. But I expect to see McColl probably back there because Dave Tobe's an idiot. And, you know, obviously you want Tyreek back there because he's Tyreek, but Andy doesn't want him getting hurt. So I'd rather have Pringle. And I'd like to conclude with, just because I think Pringle is a good special teamer does not mean I ever want to see him getting a single snap on offense. That is all.
Yeah, for sure. And with that being said, I feel like it's a good transition into the offensive side of the game. The offense outside of DeMarcus Robinson, I thought was pretty good. Do you agree with that?
I think good is a strong word.
Oh, outside. So here, let me just read off a couple box score notes. So Patrick Mahomes, 34-45, 348 yards, two TDs, and one interception. The one interception, I think that was more so on DeMarcus Robinson. Like I said, he did not attack the ball, was out of place. Complete miscommunication there. I don't know what happened, but in the end, Mahomes ends up winning this team the game more often than not. That's the case, and it was the case today as well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 14 carries for 69 yards, nice, and two touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell, 7 carries and 25 yards and one touchdown. And I was actually really glad to see Le'Veon Bell get his first touchdown as a Chief. That has to feel good. And then receiving, Kelce just keeping pace with his historic season, 8 receptions for 127 yards, and what was the game-winning touchdown, Tyreek Hill with 11 catches, 102 yards, and one touchdown. And then I also Le'Veon Bell contributed in the passing game as well. So, you know, like, I think they were good. Like, maybe that's a strong word to you. I can see how that's a strong word to some, just given some of the ugly portions of the game. But overall, they got the job done. 35 points, that'll win you a game more often than not.
I would say that Kelce and Ty were good. The rest of the offense was hella sus. The running game worked, but the running game did piss me off. In the fact that there is a, they clearly made Clyde RB1, and that really pisses me off because I was expecting more running back by committee, and I feel like they are misusing Le'Veon.
100%.
And that's something that's really bothering me. So I'm going to kind of take points off of Clyde's performance, both Clyde and Le'Veon's performance. I'll grade them as a whole unit. Because I feel like they got misused. There were a couple plays to Le'Veon in which I thought Clyde done a better job on that play. And then there were a couple plays that Clyde was in where I thought Le'Veon would have done a better job and would have made a play out of that. So I think they really need to work on the whole running back rotation. But hey, both of them got in the end zone, so I guess you can't complain too much. Receiving, outside of Kelce and Hill, who I already mentioned, I mean, it was whatever. You know, D-Rob did a couple stupid things, but I guess he showed up when he needed to. And, yeah, Garrett Dieter played. I don't know why he has a spot on a team. I think he is god-awful, and he's taking valuable snaps away from Jody Forston. I want to see Jody Forston on the active roster instead of Dieter. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But now I'm going to talk about Mahomes, because he threw a game-winning touchdown pass, and everyone's going to go, oh, MVP, MVP, MVP.
I am.
I really don't want the MVP, because I think the last quarterback to win MVP and the Super Bowl was Kurt Warner. So I would rather just not risk a potential jinxing. I'm very superstitious, so I'm not trying to fuck up our playoff chances for a meaningless award.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I feel like Mahomes has defied history so much at this point that winning an MVP wouldn't, you know, change anything, but I think you do have to kind of hand him the award at this point in the season, just because, I mean, where would this team be without him? But yeah, to track back a little bit, running backs, I really agree with your assessment that they're misusing Le'Veon, because he's good with touches. I've been trying to say this, and I wish it was a little more running back by committee, because, you know, Clyde was affected tonight, but there's other times he's not too. And that's like when I feel like they should, you know, maybe try some of their other options. Le'Veon Bell has been dynamite with the ball. And then it's just like sometimes, like today, They ran the ball on like second and 25. It's like, well, yeah, you're going to make Le'Veon Bell look bad. I feel like Andy Reid has this like mentality where like, oh, we can't give Le'Veon Bell more snaps if he's underperforming. Well, you're also putting him in a bad spot. You can't say he's underperforming when you hand him the ball on a little sweep that you've already ran three times on second and 25.
Well, I feel like kind of the mentality that's going on with the running back room is, I know after the draft, one of the things, I've mentioned this before on the show, but I think they kind of want Clyde to be their own version of Le'Veon, and he's not that. Clyde is a stronger runner than Le'Veon, and he's a significantly worse pass catcher, and he has significantly worse vision. Clyde is the type of, Clyde is as slippery as Le'Veon, but that, and they're both pretty slow. They're both slippery and they're slow. That's about it. Le'Veon is a significantly better receiver and Clyde is significantly stronger. So I think I know the play you're referencing when you talk about putting Le'Veon in a bad situation. Nobody blocked and there were three Raiders right on Le'Veon for a significant loss. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but I feel like if Clyde was in that situation, Clyde at least has some power. Clyde probably would have gotten lit up. Maybe Clyde wouldn't have been driven back as far as Le'Veon. And then there's some other situations where Clyde just didn't have the greatest vision or didn't hit the hole right or something along those lines, in which I think Le'Veon would have. And I think there was a pass that Clyde dropped that I'm fairly certain Le'Veon would have caught. So, yeah, they just need to get better at the running back rotation.
Yeah, definitely agree 100%. I don't think I'm missing anything else really about the offense as a whole, but, man, that game-ending drive by Mahomes, just no matter how much time was on the clock, that guy just, there's no panic whatsoever. This team drives down the field. And it's weird because whenever, like, it's a two-minute drill, you know, they seem, it's like, this happens a lot, and it's happened a lot during the Andy Reid era, but there's so many times when we've had to run the two-minute drill, whether it's with Alex, Mahomes, whoever, and it's like, where was this offense the entire game? You're driving down the field and scoring a touchdown in like 30 seconds, but where was that all game? I mean, I'm not saying they had a bad game offensively, but just something funny that I wanted to point out.
I mean, I'm going to hope that this mediocre performance, and I know everyone's like, oh, Mahomes, MVP, 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 oh, he's so great. But to me, Mahomes has kind of lost his fire. Mahomes was, you could tell in his first year starting, he was something special and he was good, but he was, I'll compare him to Brett Favre. He was like a slightly better Brett Favre his rookie season. He didn't turn the ball over near as much as Brett Favre did, but he was pulling plays out of his ass that he had no right making those plays. And then last year, he really took the next step, I feel, and I honestly feel like the Mahomes we saw last year is the greatest version of Mahomes we'll see, and it might be the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. He missed a couple games, and he didn't have the stats that he had the year before, but he was, I felt like he was definitely more efficient than he was the prior season. You could tell he had experience under his belt, and this year, he just looks off, man. Like, he's good, but he's not spectacular. He's not show-stopping. He's not making you go, wow. You know, it's like, oh, that was a good throw. But he's not doing anything special. He's not as entertaining as he was in years past. So I feel
I would disagree with that slightly. I mean, he still leads the league in passing yards, and he's having a really good season, only two picks. But I feel like you've kind of become a victim of just having such a great quarterback to the point where, like, plays that, you know, Mahomes makes all the time are just becoming, like, routine to you to the point where they don't impress you anymore. But when a lot of other teams would, like, kill to have that kind of performance, I do agree with what you're saying about how, like, he doesn't have, like, that same fire maybe that he did the first 2 years. And if you remember, he was actually on pace to have a better year last year than his first year starting. But he ended up getting injured, which, you know, took him off pace for all that. All that was off the table after the injury. But yeah, I mean, I agree, and I disagree at the same time.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's me getting used to his great performances, because the play that comes to mind, I think it was a third down play. Mahomes scrambled all the way to the right, and just before he went out of bounds, he threw it across his body to Kelce, and he missed. It might have been tipped, but it seems like a play that sophomore or junior Mahomes would have made that this Mahomes didn't make. And I feel like that play is a good representation of the Mahomes we got now, where now he's playing more like a traditional pocket passer, which is admittedly boring.
When there's a pocket.
Well, yeah. Heck, this is the best... Well, how do I phrase this? This is the nicest thing I am ever going to say about Eric Fisher, so bookmark this, folks. Mahomes is significantly more entertaining and is, in my opinion, significantly better quarterback when he gets pushed out of the pocket. He misses throws and that he really shouldn't when he's in the pocket, but when he's out of the pocket and all the coaching goes out of his brain and he's just acting on pure instinct of, I need to get this ball downfield, he's spectacular. And he's usually forced out of the pocket because the left side completely collapses. So I'd say that Eric Fisher is to credit for his MVP campaign 2 years ago and for him being that entertaining the past 2 years, just because Eric Fisher gives him no time and he has to scramble out and make those plays. So thank you, Eric Fisher, for making our quarterback entertaining. That being said, he just doesn't look as good to me. And like I said with the Superstation, I really don't want him winning MVP because I want to win the Super Bowl, and those usually don't happen in the same year. But whatever. Personally, I would not vote for him if I was an MVP voter, but that's just me.
Oh, I thought you were actually going to say something nice about Eric Fisher, but that was more of a backhanded compliment.
That was nice.
I say it's a backhanded compliment because basically what you're saying is that Fisher sucking contributes to Mahomes being good because it pushes him out of the pocket. But
like I said, it's the nicest thing I'm ever going to say about him. He's a complete bum, and I can't wait till he's off my team.
Oh man. Well, next
Frank
week,
Clark of the offense.
Next week, the Chiefs take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That'll be an interesting one. Honestly, I have no idea what to expect, but if the defense was anything like they were today, not expecting good things. So hopefully they can clean that up. But unless you have anything else to add, I think we were going to wrap it up there.
Tune in next week. Mizzou plays Arkansas, and the Chiefs play Tom Brady. And if you follow me on Twitter, you know how I feel about Tom Brady. So no matter what happens, I'm going to have a lot to talk about. So next week's going to be very entertaining.
All right, well, I think that does it. So make sure you check out showmefootball.com. But that's it for today. Peace.